and they made me. All right, welcome back to another Chesterless edition of 32 Fans. This is, I think, the third one in a row. This is podcast 5 of 32, or maybe 5 out of 20. I don't know. If Chester doesn't have to do any. I don't know why I have to do all 32. We got a special guest today. We have Dallas Cowboys fan Jordan Parhar. Jordan, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, Akiva. Thank you for having me back on the podcast. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. Canada's favorite Cowboys fan. Do you think Chester's ducking you? Like, is he, as a Vikings fan, just afraid of all the other NFC teams?
No, he doesn't have anything to be afraid of. The Vikings are way better than the Cowboys. So, no, he's got better things to do than to do the podcast. It's all good, Akiva. We'll have fun, though.
Yeah, I accept, like, your team has a good offensive line, and his team loses an offensive lineman every single day of training camp. It's a little bit of a problem.
See, if we could just loan, you know, if the Cowboys could loan out their offensive line, like, for a year or something, the Vikings would be invincible.
It's honestly a really cool idea. I hadn't thought of it, but, like, you know, you could do this in European soccer.
Yeah, right?
Do you need your great offensive line this year? Like, I don't, but what would you loan it for? Like, money on the salary cap for next year?
Yeah, or you could say, like, they already re-signed Stephon Diggs, but I was going to say, like, he was going to be a free agent, so maybe, okay, we'll make this deal. You borrow our offensive line for a year. We'll suck this year. We'll tank. You give us back Stephon Diggs next year, something along those lines, but I don't think that would...
I think it would have to be interconference when you don't play. Like, I think it's an interesting idea of, like, loaning a guy to another team for a year, but I don't think it could be in the conference. They also have these rules where you can specify if you want. Let's say a guy's on Chelsea, right, in the EPL.
Yep.
And they don't have room for him, so he goes to, like, Huddersfield Town. But one of the rules is, like, when you play Chelsea, he's not allowed to play in those two games. Like, because technically...
Yeah.
Well, how would it work? Like, you can't play against the team that pays your salary. It makes no sense.
No, totally.
So imagine if it's like, all right, like, the Patriots should have loaned the Niners Jimmy G last year, and then, like, hey, if we play, you just can't play. And that really would have worked better than giving away Jimmy Garoppolo, and, like, now they have a 41 quarterback.
Oh, man. Yeah, that Patriots fans going to be kicking themselves for years over that one. That's rather unfortunate.
We start off usually by talking about the coach in the front office. I wanted to ask you a question about the Cowboys front office.
Sure.
Bill Barnwell had a really good column a few weeks ago, the 20 most outsized contracts adjusted by position. So, for instance, like Kyle Juszczyk, the Niners fullback, is one, not because he makes the most money in the league, but because he's paid so much more than any other fullback, because why would you pay a fullback? And they pay him a stupid amount of money. Oddly, they also pay their halfback, who's not even healthy, right? Jerick McKinnon, way too much.
Jerick McKinnon, yes. Yeah, he got a huge deal in the offseason.
But the number three guy on the list is Zach Martin, who's a great player. So you'd really have to pay him a ridiculous amount for him to be overpaid. But your star guard, Zach Martin, is making $43 million for the next 3 years. But what I found interesting, he says, there's only eight guys in the entire league that are under contract for 2023. So this is 18, so that's 5 years from now, right? Meaning that they have a six-year deal minimum.
Right.
But Martin actually has a contract for 2024, the only player in the entire NFL with a contract for 2024. But Martin, Frederick, and Smith are three Cowboys offensive linemen, are three of the only eight players in the league who are under contract for 5 years from now. What do you think about that?
I think it's pretty great for Dallas. I mean, to have those guys locked up long term. And yes, Zach Martin is probably, like, quote unquote overpaid right now. But I guess the thinking for, if you're, you know, the Cowboys front office is, well, you look at how many offensive linemen were getting paid, or how much they were getting paid this offseason. You know, you look at your Nate Solders, you look at your Andrew Norwells. Those guys are getting so much money that, you know, Zach Martin, he's got to get more than them. He's got to set the market. So that's why they had to pay him so much money. But I'm pretty excited to have those guys locked up long term. It's unfortunate that, you know, Dallas just, for whatever reason, can't seem to figure it out, whether it's with their coaching staff or with some of the other personnel decisions that they've made in recent years. But the only one that kind of worries me a little bit is Tyron Smith, because, you know, if you have a bad back, especially in the NFL and at a position like left tackle, that's not something that's going to, like, get better. You have a bad, I don't know if you have a bad back, Akiva. I have a bad back already. I'm 24 years old.
I think old fat guys have a bad back. I feel like it's part of the process,
exactly. And it's it's not fun having a bad back, and it doesn't really get any better as you age. So that's the only thing I'm a little worried about there. But otherwise, yeah, like having Frederick and Zach Martin locked up long term is pretty nice, even though Dez Bryant thinks that Travis Frederick is a snake.
I mean, the problem is also, like, either the salary cap doesn't go up and it's like, oh, we had no reason to, we didn't save any money by doing it, or the salary cap goes up immensely, and then in 2021, these guys who have 3 years left on their contract are all miserable because they're, like, the most underpaid players in the league. I feel like,
oh, yeah, totally.
Or they become bad, and you're paying $16 million a year times three, and you have, like, a bad aging offensive line, or they can't even play. You know,
that's there's definitely some downside to it.
A scenario.
Sure.
The only scenario is like they're league average players, so they can't really complain about their contract. And you like it's okay that like they're, you know, you're paying them a lot of money because like they're at least starting caliber. That's sort of the only way, like underwhelming is like the only way that it really works out.
Yeah, locking up guys long term in the NFL. I mean, it's definitely a gamble unless you're talking about a quarterback. Just because
it's just interesting that like Jerry Jones literally has such a different strategy than all 31 other teams. But he's also been like always been the stars and scrubs guy, right? Like I'm going to pay my stars a ton of money, and then we're going to have like 10 all pros, and then like 43 waiver wire guys.
Yeah, I mean, it really hasn't done. It hasn't really worked out very well for Dallas, has it, Akiva, since, you know, those mid-90s teams, since Jimmy Johnson left. So, yeah, you know, you think, oh, yeah, you're trying something different. We'll see how it works. And, yeah, it doesn't work. It's been a bit of a rough go, I think, for Cowboys fans. We've had some good times in recent years, but as we'll get into in the podcast, I don't necessarily have a ton of faith in these guys for this season or beyond this year either.
You know what's super interesting to me that I just thought of? So you are a young enough Cowboys fan that you do not remember the three 90s Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, no, correct. I was born in 1993, so I was alive for the 95 one. But yeah, Switzer, but no, I don't remember any of that.
And you're a Canadiens fan, right? Montreal Canadiens?
I am a Montreal Canadiens fan. It's
so
the exact same
thing. That's crazy. So you're like a front runner who's never won, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Like my dad jokes that I cursed him when I was born because as soon as I was born, all of his teams stopped winning. But yeah, that's the case. I root for these like quote unquote like prestigious franchises, but they've never won as long as I've been alive. So
are you
a
Raptors guy also?
No, not a Raptors guy. I'm a Sixers fan.
Okay.
But
you've never won.
Yeah, they never won in my lifetime either. So
and do you have a baseball team?
So for baseball, I was Expos, but then they moved. So now I rooted for the Dodgers when I was a kid. I don't really have a diehard.
So you've never won a championship on any level?
No, never won it. Never won a championship with any team ever in any sport. So I think I can relate to you a lot as a Jets fan, Akiva. It's just kind of, we're just in misery all the time. I mean, I think we've had some good times, but mostly bad times in most sports for me.
All right, let's give me your coach confidence ranking on a scale of 1 to 10. How confident are you right now in Jason Garrett?
Oh, 10 out of 10, Akiva. I got right. Jason Garrett, the clapper? You got to support him. No. I would say for the coaching staff of the Cowboys, I'd give them a 3. Jason Garrett is not a good coach. I mean,
what does he need to do to keep his job for 2019?
8-8, Akiva. 8-8. Keep his job.
That's enough.
Jerry Jones loves him. Jerry Jones loves him so much for some weird reason. I don't understand why. He refuses to fire him. He's got one playoff win in 7 years as head coach. The only coach that is worse in terms of playoff wins and years in the league is Marvin Lewis, and he's employed by one of the cheapest owners in professional sports. So I don't know what it is. Like I don't understand why they don't get rid of Jason Garrett and try something different. I don't know if you watched All or Nothing, the Amazon series on the Cowboys. Akiva,
I watched the last. I definitely watched the Cardinals one last year. I've watched everyone before this year. That's either one or two.
Okay, and, so the Cowboys were the Cowboys were this year.
I started it one day, and I didn't watch it, but I sort of regret it. And now it's Hard Knocks back on. I'm not sure if I'm going to go back and get to it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if you're bored, like during the offseason, go back and check it out.
It was Rams. Maybe 2 years ago was the Cardinals. I think there's been two before this one. The Rams.
Yeah, there
one,
were two
like,
before.
You see Jeff Fisher get fired, so it's an incredible episode of television. The other like seven episodes weren't so good, but the Jeff Fisher gets fired one was insane. I don't know. Is there like one
I haven't
where
seen that
out with the Cowboys.
I mean, I haven't actually seen that one. I would say I didn't realize there was an actual footage of Jeff Fisher.
Oh yeah, you
fired,
should watch.
So that
it.
Makes
you
me want to go
it.
Back. Yeah,
it's really great.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch it after this. But in terms of for the Cowboys one, the only thing there wasn't really that moment this year. There was like there's footage of Jerry Jones like trying to convince the team to draft Paxton Lynch like in the first episode.
Oh boy,
which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
In hindsight,
I'm
the
not
other
sure he's
the other
be
thing
in the CFL next. Year Paxton Lynch. I mean, he's basically
Paxton Lynch is really he's bad. He's terrible. Like I don't think he's going to be on a roster next
this?
Year. He's
Paxton
that
Lynch
bad.
Or Hackenberg? Who are you taking?
Oh.
Hackenberg today came in for the Eagles. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did. I think Hackenberg. I think I'd go Hackenberg because he seems more motivated to want
run.
To play.
Lynch can run. At least you just go like the
but,
world's
like,
worst Wildcat with Paxton Lynch.
Yeah, but Lynch, like, he just, like, he plays video games all day. Like, he doesn't actually, it doesn't seem like he actually wants to put any work in. Like, I think Hackenberg is
a
little more
If people don't follow, Hackenberg came in, the Eagles signed him as, like, a training camp body. Which, by the way, the Jets don't have. It's so stupid. The Jets just have three, like, zillion-dollar quarterbacks. Like, Bridgewater, who in theory has a big contract. Josh McCown, who's making $15 million. And their franchise, and Sam Darnold. So, like, in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, when you have like your like 13th and 14th offensive lineman in, and the quarterback is about to die, they literally have to have like a starting caliber quarterback in the game. It makes no sense. Anyway, Hackenberg came in today, threw an interception in his first play of practice, and then followed up by throwing a second interception.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, 0 for 2 with two picks, Hackenberg.
Oh no, poor Hackenberg. Yeah, okay, maybe we take Paxton Lynch over Christian Hackenberg,
someone
but they're both
going to,
terrible.
Someone is
going
to write an article 10 years from now about how like the Jets ruined him, or like he's going to blame somebody else or some other thing. When the reality is, like Pro Football Focus said, do not draft him. He's not an NFL caliber player. Like the Jets picked him in the second round, and it was a joke then. And like don't
it's a joke now.
10 years from now, yeah, but don't spin this. Yeah. Like Hackenberg sucked, and
he was bad.
Knew it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, it's the same with Paxton Lynch. It's the same with Paxton Lynch. But go ahead, Akiva.
Speaking of quarterbacks who suck, Dak Prescott doesn't suck. We had him as our 10th overall QB. I think I had him 12th. Chester had him all the way up at 8. Obviously, he regressed from year 2016, his rookie year, to 2017. He had a 100 is average, 120 CQBR. Chester's not here, but we still we're legally obligated to talk about Chester quarterback rating. It went all the way down to 106, which you could probably tell is not much above average. It's below guys like, it's not much above Tyrod Taylor, let's say. It's in the ballpark of Matt Ryan and Stafford, who you know, didn't have great years, or Rodgers, who missed a bunch of games. So do you think the 2016 Dak is who we're going to see this year, the 2017, somewhere in between? What do you think?
I think it's probably somewhere in between, Akiva. I think 2016 Dak was, you know, they weren't asking him to do much. They had a better supporting cast in terms of like the offensive line was better. They had Doug Free on the team. They had Ronald Leary on the team. Dez Bryant was still in his prime. The league hadn't really seen a ton of tape on Dak Prescott at that point. Whereas last year, I think Dak was trying, he said it himself in interviews, he was trying to do too much, you know, without having Zeke there. Tyron Smith getting injured, I mean, that was really huge for the offense. I would argue that was bigger for the offense than losing Ezekiel Elliott, because once that happened, the offense just completely shut down. That game against Atlanta, when Adrian Claiborne, who's like a journeyman pass rusher, he had 6 sacks. Speaking of all or nothing, that's an episode that's worth checking out, in which that happens. Mm-hmm. But I think with a health, I mean, crossing my fingers, with a healthy Tyron Smith, with Ezekiel Elliott back in the lineup, I think Dak's going to be better. I don't think he's going to necessarily set the league on fire, especially with how weak the receiving core appears to be on paper. But I don't think he's quite as bad as he was down the stretch last year. So I don't know if I put him up at 10. I would say he's probably for sure a top 15 quarterback, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. But with room to grow. We need to see how healthy does this team stay this year, and what can he do without really any wide receivers and without a tight end on the roster, because that's kind of what he's dealing with right now.
Yeah, so let's go there. So the receiving core to me is very interesting. Pro Football Focus ranked the 29th. I'd say I would rank it even lower. The Bills receiving core, they don't have anybody throwing to them, but I think I'd rank that 32nd. They actually had the Cardinals below them, but I guess Fitzgerald and anybody might be better than what you guys have. Is there any reason for optimism? I personally like the rookie receiver.
Michael Gallup, yes, yeah, out of Colorado State.
I do
State.
Like him. I liked him right after the draft when people were talking about him. And Chester likes Bryce Butler.
Well, Bryce Butler is signed with the Cardinals, so he's no longer with the Cowboys. So,
Chester, what are you sending me? What are you sending me? I like Bryce Butler for. Yeah, at least that's Chester's. Here's Chester's take. Let me just read you. Chester sends in his take.
Okay.
God forbid we don't have it for the podcast. Passing game. They've basically replaced Dez and Witten with nobody. Witten played 99% of the Cowboys' 2017 offensive snaps. Those two. By the way, this is also the make fun of Chester segment. Those two combined for 33 red zone targets. No one else on the team had 7. Neither Dez or Witten had been particularly good for a long time, but the Cowboys waited too long. There's two O's and two, Chester, to get rid of them and then never replace them. Currently the worst receivers in the NFL. All right, we know where Chester ranks them. They refused to throw to Zeke. Last year, they had the third lowest rate of passes to running backs. When they do pass to Zeke, they have a 62 QBR. At least he's not giving us the CQBR, the Chester quarterback rating, and only 20% success rate. Dak was 32nd in the league in pass rating on deep passes. That's mostly because of how terrible Dez was. Bryce Butler's numbers were great, so hopefully he'll get more opportunities with Dez gone. Chester, what are you, trying to trick us for? And Bryce Butler, not my notes.
Oh, no. Chester, yeah, I think he when he was making his chart for the Cowboys, I think he must have forgot about Bryce Butler signing with the Cardinals. But it's okay. I don't blame him. That's you easily could have missed that. And I think I'm with Chester. I think this is probably the worst receiving core in the NFL just right now based on what we have. I would take Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, that kid they picked in the second round this year, and Bryce Butler over what they have in Dallas. I'd take the Bills receivers over what they have in Dallas with the addition of Corey Coleman. So yeah, it's going to be a struggle for sure. Michael Gallup is very interesting. He was at Pro Football Focus's number one receiver in the draft this year. He definitely flashed at Colorado State. He looked really good. He was a very efficient receiver. Seen some comparisons to Michael Crabtree. Some people even saying he looks a little bit like Michael Thomas. He had a touchdown in his first preseason game. He's looked really good in training camp. So I think if Michael Gallup can be, if he can just blow his expectations out of the water, then I think they might be in a little bit better shape than I'm expecting them to be. But asking a rookie to do that in his first year, especially a guy who was taken in the third round, I think that's a really big ask. And if you look at their other receivers, I mean, you got Allen Hurns, who they signed, who, I mean, he's always been injured the last few years in Jacksonville. He's had a 1,000-yard season before, but I don't know how much you really want to rely on him. Cole Beasley was really bad last year. Dak Prescott was recently quoted saying that Cole Beasley is his number one receiver. I don't know how comfortable I feel about that. You know, they've got Tavon Austin, who was supposed to be a running back, but has been lining up at receiver in camp and in their first preseason game against the Niners.
I'm so excited for all the preseason stories. They're probably already started, but I've ignored them. Like, you know, is this Tavon Austin's rookie season? And then you could just copy and paste from the last 6 years.
Exactly.
It's his breakout season.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's just, I don't know what they were doing getting Tavon Austin. But, yeah, it's not good, Akiva. It really isn't. And then the tight ends, as Chester said, Jason went and retired at the end of April. So at that point, they couldn't really sign anybody in the draft. I mean, they had so many needs that they couldn't address tight end until the fourth round. So Dalton Schultz, who they drafted out of Stanford, I don't really expect much out of him. He didn't really do much in college. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the roster, you're talking Jeff Swain, Blake Jarwin. I mean, Jarwin was like, yeah, I know, right? So it's not very good. So I think they're going to struggle. I think that unless they can just go into every game and say, hey, we're going to run the ball like 35 times and we don't care if you know that, and they can still have success if their offensive line is that good, then you know, maybe they can do something, but I just think that's very concerning if you're going into, you're just pigeonholing yourself and you're saying, this is what we're going to do. And especially, you know, you talked earlier about Jerry Jones just doing, you know, doing what different things from what the rest of the league is doing. It's the same with the Cowboys coaching staff. I mean, they're just completely banking on the run and saying, we're just going to just run the rock and just completely focus on a rushing attack and just kind of have a dink and dunk passing offense when the league is moving towards passing. Like, that's just more passing the ball is just much more efficient than rushing the ball at this point. If you look at statistics, so in the league where it is today. So I'm definitely concerned about this offense for sure. They're going to have to, the offensive line's going to have to stay healthy and Zeke's going to have to play out of his mind in order for them to be competitive this year.
All right. Well, we have a nerd bat signal because you talk about somebody. Who's the guy? See, I don't know movies like Beetlejuice. If you say his name three times, like, he shows up on the podcast. So it's Chester, the podcast Beetlejuice. We were making fun of him, and I guess his work call, he maybe got fired, or his work call's over. But Chester, are you here with us?
Yes, I'm a guest on my own podcast.
Yeah, you were a guest today. So you made a big mistake. We were making fun of you. I read your notes about the Cowboys offense, and you predicted a big season on the Cowboys for Bryce Butler. Parr, tell him why that's not going to happen.
Did he get cut?
No, Bryce Butler signed with the Arizona Cardinals back in, I believe it was March. Sorry, Chester.
Making us look good. Where do you do your research on, like, one of those fantasy football magazines that are printed in May?
All right, so let me move the Cardinals up two spots and the Cowboys down two spots in my
Yeah, brother. You got to, I mean, Bryce Butler, like, I think we had the Cardinals at, like, the worst team in the NFL, but now they're moving up. Forget it. We had the Cardinals in the mid-20s, but now I think they're making the playoffs. I don't care if the NFC West is impossible this year. Chester.
Yeah?
It was so nice. It's so nice of you to join us for half a podcast after, like, taking a week off. All right. Do you have any takes on the Cowboys defense, Chester? Because we're about to talk about the Cowboys D.
I mean, their passing defense is very bad.
What do you think, Jordan? Is that true?
You know what? I think on paper, yes, it looks very bad, like very, very bad. But I know I'm biased because I'm a Cowboys fan, obviously. I think they're going to be a little bit better than people are expecting in the secondary. Like Byron Jones, he was their first round pick from a few years ago. He's moving down from safety back to corner. Chidobe Awuzie, who was their second round pick, not this year, but a year ago. Really solid rookie season. He's looked really good in camp. Jordan Lewis is another one. Who was picked back in the 2017 draft, who I think is going to be better this season. Anthony Brown, not a bad nickel corner. Their safeties on paper look pretty weak, but I like Xavier Woods and Jeff Heath more than most people. I think I've got some hope. I think on paper, yes, it looks pretty, but the secondary looks weak, but I think they can be better than what people are expecting.
And I think the pass secondary, rush, you just don't have a star player. There's no, like, disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just they've got some depth. I think it's just, you know, it's cornerback by committee. It's just going to be a bunch of guys. They're going to work it out together, and somebody's going to emerge, hopefully, you know, as a shutdown guy for them.
And what were you saying about the pass rush?
Pass rush, I think that's the pass rush is good on this Cowboys defense. Like DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, tied for second in sacks a year ago. Randy Gregory, who is like the Josh Gordon of defense, he's come out of hibernation. He's back in camp. He was, you know, a first round talent back when the Cowboys picked him, you know, however many years ago. He's going to be back. I think he's really good. David Irving is suspended again. But when he comes back, I mean, he's always very solid when he's in the lineup. They've got Taco Charlton, who was their first round pick a year ago. Dorrance Armstrong, who they took in the fourth round this year. I think their pass rush is actually pretty decent. Their linebackers, you know, they drafted Leighton Vander Esch. They lost Anthony Hitchens, but I think he could potentially be better than he was. Jalen Smith is looking even more healthy this year. Apparently, he's 100% again. He's impressing people in camp. So I think the Cowboys' defense is it looks pretty bad on paper, but I think it's going to surprise some people. I actually think it's going to be, you know, subpar this year. That's my prediction.
Chester, can I drop a take and you guys could react to it?
Yeah.
The Eagles built around both lines, a ferocious pass rush, a really good offensive line, and a young quarterback. You could make a really strong case the Cowboys have that. The Cowboys don't have the all-world pass rush that the Eagles have, but they have a well-above-average pass rush. They have an amazing offensive line. Some people say the Eagles are better, but they're arguably the two best O-lines in the league. They have a good young quarterback. Why is everyone so, like, in the middle on this team?
You're not in the middle. You're on the bottom. You ranked them much lower than I did.
I know. Why don't we like them? By the way, I had them. I had the Cowboys at 18. Jordan Chester had them at 12. So there are 14th.
Well, that was before I knew about Bryce Butler, though.
Yeah, and right now knock him down from 14 to 24. Yeah. The Butler bump, but I don't. I like maybe this team is okay. Maybe we're too obsessed with sexy skill position players, in particular receivers, when like. Well, the Eagles, if they don't have Alshon Jeffrey at the beginning of the year, like they also don't
have. Well, I think my issue, and I think you already went through my notes, but like their 9-7 record was really unsustainable last year. They were
no, that we didn't do. Actually. Okay, thank you for you could, that part. You could read.
Yeah. Okay. So basically,
should I read your notes? Would you? Is that easier for you?
Yeah. You want to read them in my voice?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't do it. Listen, Jordan. Here's my original research. Dallas went 9-7 last year, but that was based on an unsustainable 5-1 record in the division. They beat the Eagles in Week 17 when the Eagles were resting everyone. They swept the Giants and the Redskins for the first time in a dozen years. They played the AFC West and NFC West, both Wests, in historically awful years for both divisions, and they still only went 4-6 outside the division. They faced the Niners pre-Jimmy G. They faced Seattle in Week 16 after they'd collapsed. They lost to the mediocre Chargers and awful Broncos by a combined 70-23.
Yikes. Answer yourself there. Yeah, I mean, And the other thing too with that Seattle game, they lost Bryce Butler. The thing with that Seattle game too, they lost that Seattle game. Like they should have won that game. They lost. It was atrocious. And I agree with you. Like the fact they finished 9-7, but it felt like as a fan, like a 6-10 or 5-11 season. Like they were not good last year. And I don't think they're going to. I think you know. I don't think they're going to be as bad as maybe 5-11 this year, but I don't think they're going to finish 9-7 this year. I think they're going to be a little bit worse, to be honest. Playing against the NFC South and the AFC South is going to be tough in terms of their outer division games. And then within the division, I mean, the Giants got better. I think the Redskins, you could argue, are a better team as well with Alex Smith, a healthy offensive line. Their D line keeps building depth there. And then the Eagles, I mean, you could argue the Eagles are even better this season. So, I mean, yeah, Carson Wentz is coming off a torn ACL, but you look at the supporting cast. I mean, they're set at every position. So, I'm not expecting much from Dallas this season. I think Chester, you're too high at 12, and Akiva even at 18. That wow. might be too high. I wouldn't That's be like for me, like I usually come on this podcast every year and I'm like, the Cowboys are, I'm very pessimistic about them. I don't think they're going to finish very well. I know last year a lot of fans were expecting them to finish, you know, 13-3 again. And I said, no, they'll probably finish like 9-7 and maybe they'll just miss the playoffs. I think maybe this team, I would probably say right now, like 7-9 is kind of where they're at. So I would say, yeah, maybe closer to that 18 range, 17, 18, somewhere in the 20, early 20s range. I'm not expecting a lot from this team. Now, could they, if a few things break the right way, could things turn out? Absolutely. Like you said, on paper, it looks like they do kind of have this, they've constructed this team similarly to how the Eagles have. The difference is that, you know, the Eagles, what they did was they have a cheap quarterback on their salary cap with Carson Wentz being still on his rookie deal. The Cowboys have the same thing with Dak Prescott. But the difference is that the Eagles went out and spent that money in free agency. They built their team. They built upon their strengths. They built upon that defensive line and they made their team even better. You could say Seattle did the same thing in, you know, the 2012 and that whole, when they started building up their dynasty, when Russell Wilson was still on his rookie deal. The Cowboys have had Dak on his rookie deal for a few seasons. This is year three now. They really haven't done any of that. And it's because the front office has just mismanaged their cap so poorly. And they just haven't had an opportunity to do that. They're spending $26 million against their cap this season just on dead money alone. So that, I mean, that's a few players that could be contributors or stars for their team right away in free agency that they just didn't have the opportunity to add to their team. So because of that, they've mismanaged things so much that I just don't really feel great about this team. Their rookies are going to have to really blow them out of their water in terms of expectations in order for this team to be a really successful franchise this year. And I just think that's a lot to ask out of young players.
And Stephen Jones has already promised that Dak Prescott's getting a $100 million contract as soon as his rookie contract is up, which is really helpful.
We already talked about the Jones's insane contract ways at the beginning of the podcast that they have three guys.
Well, that was terrible. Before his anthem takes. Now I'm sure it's going to be like $150 million, right? Did you? I'm sure.
Yeah, no, for $200
million. I'm sure
you
guys already talked about this. Jordan, you watched All or Nothing with the Cowboys?
Oh, God.
Yeah, we talked about All or Nothing.
We're not doing reruns on a podcast. We talked about it for too much already.
Okay, all right. You know,
No, we didn't talk about it. Chester, talk about it. What did you? What? Because Akiva had seen it.
We didn't describe all 8 episodes in like excruciating detail.
Yeah. So let me open my notes on that. I have a 14-page Word document. 3. Single spaced. Yeah.
Jordan, who's the best non-first-round rookie on the Cowboys?
Best non-first-round rookie on the Cowboys, like that they from this year's draft class. Connor Williams. He's going to play left guard for them this year. He played left tackle at Texas. There was talk that he was going to go in the first round. I was surprised he didn't go in the first round. Mm-hmm. And I think they were very, very excited that he fell to them.
Say this about you guys. You really spend a lot of capital on the line. Like you take
yes,
the line
a
so
lot of
seriously.
Capital on the line. Yeah, they do, but you know what? I mean, it's funny when it's worked out for them, they've been great. They were 12-4 in 2014 with their great offensive line with Romo, and then back in 2016 the line was healthy. They were great. Dak's rookie year, they go 13-3. Maybe it's every 2 years the offensive line like going all in on the line strategy works, and then every other year it goes horribly wrong. So maybe this is the year, but I do think Connor Williams is going to be really good, and we already talked a little bit about Michael Gallup, but I think he's going to be pretty good as well in the third round. They got him.
Oh, that was a good like Chester. You hear that answer? People should listen, and they should be like, "Yeah, you should have an answer in 2 seconds."
Yeah, that's a good answer.
That was good. He's a good broadcaster.
Yeah.
All right, Chester. I don't know if you know, but Jordan has a fantasy football podcast. What's it called, Jordan?
Oh, my fantasy football podcast. It's the Fantasy Football Canadians podcast. It's a very casual podcast at this point, just because I've been so busy with like work and school lately. But if you're down to listen to a podcast like once every couple weeks and you want to hear me talk about fantasy, check it out.
Now, you just did a 2QB episode, which is it's very close to Chester and our heart and my heart, because we think that people don't do 2QB leagues basically shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Yeah, it's. I was listening to your podcast you guys did about the Bill Simmons 2001 article, which was fantastic, by the
Agreed,
way. Listen
yeah.
to it mm-hmm. If you're listening to this right now and you haven't checked it out and you're a fantasy football fan. But I totally agree. I think it's just one quarterback leagues. The quarterbacks are just so they just don't matter. And quarterback is like the most important position in football. So why like you need to make them more valuable. I think two quarterbacks are way more important. So
I did a mock today, Jordan. Sorry for keeping interrupting you. But I like the fact that I'm interrupting you, because usually if we have a woman on the podcast afterwards, people say like Akiva always interrupts women. So I want to like, so if I interrupt you, I'll say, hey, listen to this podcast where I interrupted you.
It's okay. It's okay if it's
times.
Me, Akiva.
It's men also. So Chester, do you know this? In a mock draft, no QB is going in the first 52 picks?
In a one quarterback league.
In a one QB league, like there's no why are you even playing fantasy football?
Yeah, no, I agree.
In like round 13, Drew Brees had not been picked yet. I it's not. It's the. I mean, literally, we're talking about like the fourth best player in the NFL. Why are we even bothering? Why are we even bothering with QBs if they're going to be that? I make fun the old man league I'm in, which I'm about to ask. I had a question plan that I'll ask Jordan about when I thought you weren't going to be here. The old man league I'm in, I make fun of it because quarterbacks get 6 points for a touchdown pass, and every 100 yards they get 5 points instead of 4, which makes them super powered. But I actually think if you play in a 1QB league, that might be the way to go, because that's the only way to balance it out. Chester, do you think that's insane?
Well, but that's like putting a Band-Aid on like a missing.
Of course. No, like, we agree. Stupid. But like, I thought it was stupid, but now I'm sort of coming around to like, how you cannot Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers cannot go 55th in your draft.
Yeah, after like 25 running backs.
It's crazy. Yeah. After backup running backs,
yeah,
they're
it's
gone.
Very stupid.
So here's my question, Jordan. In my one like super casual normie league, I have the 5th pick. It's a 12-team league, half PPR, 1QB league. What would you do at 5?
So is this, do you start 2 receivers or 3 receivers?
You start 2 receivers and a flex. It's very, it's
2 receivers
it's
and
very
a flex.
Standard, other than the half.
Okay.
We are.
Okay. So I would probably go, so the first, if you're in a fantasy league, like you want to have a top 4 pick this year, because it's just, you can do it sleeping. You get those first 4 running backs out of the way.
Yes.
After
strong,
that, it gets interesting. If you,
oh, what
oh,
do you think?
Okay.
I would take Antonio Brown first overall. If he's available at 5, of course you take him.
With a half point PPR.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is though,
here's
somebody's
my,
up,
here's
like,
the
David
argument.
Johnson's going to have like 80% of the catches Antonio Brown has.
That's why like the advantage you get from a run, like those elite running backs, like from Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, it's just
so
much more.
Of the 4 guys you mentioned,
advantage,
how many of them have been top 10 running backs each of the last 2 years? Because the answer is 0.
Okay, and fair enough.
Antonio Brown is guaranteed to be a top five wide receiver this year.
True, he's guaranteed, but it's so much easier to find receivers later in the draft, especially with how
is so deep this year. It's shocking compared to
it's
the last
so
year.
Deep. Every single it is year, so deep.
I'll tell you what.
Every single year, there's three running backs who will end up in the top 10 who will not go drafted in your draft.
True.
Right,
and
there's
no
such thing. Sure. There's no such thing as Alvin Kamara at wide receiver. It doesn't exist. You'll get a wide receiver 20, but you won't get a wide receiver 5 or wide receiver 3.
What about David Boston year? Bill Simmons made fun of him, and then he wrote Stu to the title. Yeah. here's the problem. To get into the second and third round for 1 second, if you pick Brown at 5, the good players you have to pick at, what is that, 19 and 23 or whatever it is, 18 and 23,
yep.
Or 18 and 25, maybe?
Yes.
Are 18 and 27, sorry for my... Are all receivers, and maybe a tight end.
Yes.
So,
yes,
exactly.
Brown, so that's why
receiver Gronk, and then your best running back, if you're lucky, is Alex Collins in round 4.
Yeah, but I'm
yeah,
happy.
So,
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying, because I've done a bunch of mocks today, and I get Gronk every time in that, so it's almost always Brown, Gronk, and then there's some really good receivers, but there's no, the running back in that range is Joe Mixon, who I'm not going near in a half PPR league.
Yeah, but my take is the opposite. I think you, instead of trying to get an elite running back, grab 4 or 5 guys in the 20 to 30 range, because one of them, Lamar Miller, Jay Ajayi, Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis, one of the rookies, Rashad Penny, Sony Michel, one of these guys is going to be a top 10 running back. I'd rather have 5 of those guys than David Johnson.
Ronald Jones?
Yeah, I'd rather have 5 of any of those guys than David Johnson or Todd Gurley. Because
Chester's telling you his league strategy.
No, I don't want all my eggs in one basket.
It doesn't matter because I don't have any.
Yeah, I don't want all my eggs in one basket at running back.
I hear what you're saying. In the Super League, which is my sequel to the League of Leagues, which is a three-sport league, football, baseball, basketball.
Yes,
I'm familiar. Went with the Chester strategy, and I figured, why am I drafting, especially because there are going to be rookie running backs available in March, why am I drafting running backs? Are they going to be on an NFL? Is Devonta Freeman in March of 2018, is he going to be in the NFL in September 2019? Is he going to be on the Falcons? Who knows? So
you don't know.
So I didn't pick any running backs. My number one running back right now going into this rookie draft is Marlon Mack, who I actually think is probably going to have a decent year because he's probably the Colts' number one running back. But I have nobody. I have Mack, Crowell, and everyone's laughing at me.
I mean, Akiva, I dropped DeMarco Murray in December last year. And DeMarco Murray, of course.
Yeah, and people thought you were insane.
Yeah.
And he retired.
And he retired.
And
yeah.
People thought you were crazy for dropping.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting debate where to go if you have the fifth pick is probably the worst pick in the draft though now that I sort of
it depends if you want to go with what Chester's saying then you get Antonio Brown you're laughing if he falls to you at 5 you're guaranteed the number one receiver in fantasy football so if you want to play it you just want to take the chalk picks then go for Antonio Brown but. If you want to build your team, if you're looking at those other running backs that are available in the second and third round, you really don't have you're not going to have another chance to get one of those elite guys. But if you're going to go with what Chester's saying and just load up on mid-round guys, which is certainly a viable strategy, and then you just go with Antonio Brown with fifth overall, and then at 19 or whatever it is, you take Gronk, and then again at 23, you just take Adam Thielen or T.Y. Hilton or whoever the best receiver is.
Yeah, just to me,
one of those guys. Right?
Is your goal to win the league or is your goal to finish 8-5 and sneak in?
No, the goal is to win.
Okay, if your goal is to win
the
league,
if
your goal is to win the league, you're not going to win the league because of the guy you picked in the first round. You're going to win the league because you're the guy who picked up Alvin Kamara in week 3 on waivers, and you're the guy who took Adam Thielen in the last round of your draft. And
do you like Thielen or Diggs better, Chester, for this season?
People are saying Diggs right now. But
yeah, I think I because I had the choice today and I picked Diggs and I'm sort of leaning towards Diggs. I think Thielen overachieved a tiny bit last year.
Well, yeah, I assume last year will have been his career year, but he's a good receiver.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Chester, do you have any teams in your league that get a bump? Now, you have a unique league. Do you have any teams in your league that get a bump because guys are on them? Because there's certain leagues, growing up in New York, where Giants players, no Jets fan would ever bid on a Jets player, but Giants fans will maybe boost the Giants guy.
But are people still doing that in 2018?
They are.
Not in the leagues I'm in.
Just not in your league.
The only exception is Eli Manning.
I'm
Eli Manning goes for too
Saquon
much
Barkley
every year.
At 3 in a Giants family.
Yeah. No, Eli Manning goes for too much every year.
There's a woman in my league who has a crush on Tom Brady and will always buy him at auction.
Yeah. Yeah.
like even at like twice his normal price. Although last year she, you know, because people had been doing it for so many years, she let the person have it last year at like an insane amount because they just assumed she would keep going.
Yeah.
And she didn't.
She's actually won that league, though, and you haven't, so you can't make fun of her.
She's won. No, she. But no, I won once. She won 2 years in a row.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Yafit. Yeah. Okay. Chester, do you know what the Sam from New Zealand question is? Because you haven't been on the last couple podcasts.
Yeah, I've listened to the podcasts.
Oh, right. And would you say they're better than the ones that you're on?
I mean, I don't like listening to the sound of my own voice, so in that
yeah,
sense,
it's hard. It's probably better. I also would like a Just You episode better. Yeah. So, Jordan, here's the question. Sam from New Zealand's a listener. He's never followed football before. He wants to get into football this year. He wants people to pitch their team, and he's going to pick a team before the season. So pitch him on becoming a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Let me just say, Sam, before you listen to this, if you become a Cowboys fan, you're banned from listening to this podcast.
Yeah, that would be, it would be an insane choice.
Yeah.
I think
if he picks the Cowboys or the Patriots, he's banned.
But we discussed this, by the way, Alex, before you came on. But Parhart is a Canadians and Cowboys fan who's never seen either team win a championship.
Yeah.
He's the world's worst frontrunner.
He's the world's worst frontrunner. Yeah. Incredible.
It sucks.
Can you,
it
with a straight face, pitch Sam from New Zealand? how about this? If he's a Man U fan, I feel like there's a lot of like Aussies and New Zealand guys who are Manchester United fans. Like, if he's a Manchester United fan, I feel like he would like the Cowboys.
Yeah, if that's the case, then yeah, certainly he should be a Dallas Cowboys fan. But I from listening to the Redskins and Seahawks episodes, I thinking about how I was going to approach this when we got to the Cowboys episode. No, there's nothing I can sell to him on being a Cowboys fan. They're owned by a crazy old man who has no idea what he's doing, who just makes terrible decisions. His son is basically the general manager at this point, surely based on nepotism. Their coach is terrible. A lot of the fans are, I mean, I am a Cowboys fan myself, but a lot of the Cowboys fans are just very insufferable. And people are just going to hate on you for no reason because you're a Cowboys fan, even if you are somewhat reasonable, which I feel like I am. I don't know if I am or not. But I just don't be a Cowboys fan. Is it, what's Sam from New Zealand?
Yes.
Just don't. There are other better teams to pick than Dallas. It's going to be frustrating. You're going to get your heart broken. There's not a lot of upside. And like, there's more fun, young teams out there. Like, I would choose like a young and up and coming team that like maybe isn't that good yet, that maybe you want to, you know, jump on the bandwagon now. Like a good team, like if you're new to football and you want to be a fan, like, go be a Browns fan. Like, they have, like, seriously, like,
I think
they have some stuff
Browns
going
fan.
On. Yes, you should be a Jets or a Browns fan. You should start at the bottom. The Browns are on Hard Knocks, so you can get to know some of the players a little bit better. Mm-hmm. They've got a quarterback set.
By the way,
like,
the Jets
a young
have their own. The Jets have their own like Hard Knocks on their own, on like their team website, and you'd think it's like it's like relatively sanitized, but it's 100 times better than you'd think. Like, the camera work is just as good as Hard Knocks. It's, people should, if people are like craving for Hard Knocks and it's only once a week, there's like 7 episodes. The last one my daughter watched with me because they did one of these things at like a training camp, like what do you call it? Like a scrimmage, like a night scrimmage at the Rutgers University. They let a young kid who had just recovered from cancer like run for a touchdown. So now my daughter said like she is because she was going around saying that she likes the Yankees and the Giants, not the Mets and the Jets, to annoy me. And I was ready to kick her out of the house. But she told my wife that now she likes the Jets because they were nice to the kid with cancer. I also kind of told her, and my wife was super annoyed about this, that the Yankees make fun of kids with cancer. Because I really have to sell her not being a Yankees fan. But I have to do whatever I have to do. I mean, I told my son that everyone in the Yankees wears a diaper in the field. And then I told my daughter that they make... But listen, I will do whatever it takes to not let them, you know... If they want to root for, like, the Cleveland Browns, God bless them. But they're not rooting for the Giants or the Patriots or the Yankees. But yeah,
no,
I don't even know what it's called. But if you go to the Jets YouTube page or the Jets Facebook page, it's there, and it's like 10-minute episodes, and you see the draft, and it's pretty decent.
As someone who has a father who would have gone to similar lengths, Akiva, to make me a fan of his teams and not rival teams, I commend you for what you did. You're doing good work for your kids.
Yeah, you can write a note to the lawyer when my wife tells the judge. all right, Chester, do we have anything else for him besides a prediction? Anything for Parhar?
Well, let me ask you, because this episode was supposed to be your cliffhanger was the division rankings. And then you said to me earlier today, well, I'm not going to do it if you're not on. Now I'm on. Do you want to do that or should we save that?
No, because it's like let's extend that cliff
one more episode.
Extend the cliffhanger. Oh, but let me pitch you guys a quick pool because I did promise a cliffhanger and we lied. OK, I don't think I've mentioned this to you, Chester, off air. I think it's a fun idea because we're in so many fantasy leagues at this point. I think in seven. Maybe instead of the 32 fans league this year doing a fantasy league, what if we did more of a betting pool? So here is an idea called the margin of victory pool. Every week you play one, you pick one game, or it could be two. You get one or two, the same pool. But one is a little too similar to maybe to a survivor pool. So let's say week one, you have who are you guys playing week one, Jordan?
Cowboys, Carolina Panthers.
Okay, so you have, and where's that game?
That's in Carolina.
All right, so let's say you know, let's say Dak and Zeke are both like suspended for game one. It's like, oh, the Cowboys are like 18-point underdogs. So you pick the Panthers, and the Panthers beat the Cowboys 34-3. Now you have a +31. You get the margin of victory or loss. So you get a negative if they lose from that game, and then it just adds up for all 17 games. So it's a little bit like a survivor pool.
Oh, cool!
I think it's a good idea, Chester. What do you think?
I will save my opinion for next episode. That's the cliffhanger.
Wow. That you probably will not be on. Are you going to be on the next episode?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. But Jordan, thank you as always. You're one of our most popular guests. I'm excited to have had you on. Give us a prediction for the Cowboys season. Your official record in 2018 for the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, so I've gone back and forth with this, mm-hmm. and thank you again for having me on, guys. It's always a pleasure. Love doing this podcast every year. I'm going to say the Cowboys finish 7-9. They miss the playoffs, and Jason Garrett does not get fired.
Wow.
And we do the exact same thing again next year.
I think he has to go at least 8-8 to not get fired. But I do think they might get fired.
I don't... I think 7-9 is where they're going to hit, and I just think that Jerry Jones, he just loves Jason Garrett, and for whatever reason, he just doesn't want to let him go. It's been 7 years. I think the Cowboys are built on nepotism. You got to watch All or Nothing, Akiva, and you'll see. It's like they talk about how it's family, and I feel like they've warped. Jerry Jones's mind has been warped so much that he thinks that Jason Garrett is like part of his family now for some reason. But it's not going to be the greatest year for the Cowboys.
Chester, do you have the Cowboys in the playoffs? You have them ranked 12th.
No, I do not. But in the AFC, they would be a playoff team.
Yeah, they would be a playoff team. Well, listen.
Yeah, AFC, sure. Yeah. But AFC is way weaker.
Hey, stop spoiling our divisional rankings.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
But move to the AFC West, and I think you might win the division this year. Finally get out of that East. All right, Jordan, thank you so much. Chester, thanks for gracing us with your presence on this one podcast. I will speak to you in a few weeks, I guess.
Yeah, something
maybe
like
week
that.
One of the football season. No, I think you're going to be on some of the next few episodes. I'm not sure which ones,
maybe.
But I think you
That's will. A cliffhanger.
All right, have a good day, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Baby, 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 I'm coming home. Your tender, sweet loving, you're my one and only one. The world needs a bitter taste in my mouth, girl. You're the only one that I want. Wanna be your in my mouth, girl. You're the only one that I want.